Illumination is living a fulfilled life. This is Dr. Harita Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant inspiration. Illumination is like living a fulfilled life. Bliss is there. That's kind of a wonderful situation, isn't it? Wonderful situation to be living in a center of bliss, in the center of illumination. How do we get into this illumination that is so devoutly to be wished? How do we get into this illumination, which is such a wonderful and delightful experience for all of us? Well, the first thing we do is to be at peace within ourselves. When we are peace within ourselves, then illumination shines forth. When we are not peace within ourselves, then there is no way we can ever know the illumination that is there. That's a very important point there. We can never know the illumination that is there unless we are peace within ourselves. When we are peace within ourselves, we feel a great joy, a great enthusiasm, a great wonder about life. We feel that all is in divine order. We feel that everything is going our way. We feel that nothing could shake our boat at any time in any way. In talking with people about their relationships and about their feeling of need for an illumination, for an inspiration, for an awareness of something bigger and better within them, they go around creating multiple worlds. They say their world and my world and our world and the world, and then they create God as we have had him all of our lives up there on cloud nine. We create God in heaven, watching out over us, guiding us, looking at our every movement and judging us. And then we create a God that Jesus taught us about, the loving presence, the loving awareness, the loving center. And then we go to the stage two of what Jesus taught. He taught the Father within, God within each being, and the only place we can ever find him, the only place we can ever know him, the only place we can ever realize him. But we're still calling him a him, which is an interesting thing. God is the allness in us. And as an allness, it has no limitation. When we call God a him, then what we are doing is we are giving him anthropomorphical attitudes, an idea of being a human-like creature. And, well, yes, God is a human-like creature. That's very true. But that's only one small segment of him. You come home from work and you turn on the TV and you listen to a show. You read the newspaper and you are aware of what's in the newspaper. You talk to your wife and you find out all about the household activities. You discuss with your children what they're doing in school, and that's an interesting part of their life. And then you go out in the backyard and you play with them for a while, play ball or play whatever games their age may be, and you have a wonderful time. And as you're coming in, there's the dog, and he's barking to get your attention and says, "Hey, come on over here and say hi to me too." And so you go over there. Now you have all these things going on in your world, all these things, all these aspects, and you are every one of them because you created them. But are you only what each one is? Are you only your job? Are you only the newspaper? Are you only the television? Are you only discussion with your wife or children or dog or whomever? Are you only each of these items, or are you all of these items in one grand package, and perhaps a more grand package than you ever dreamed as possible? And that's the package we're talking about. The package of illumination, one where things happen that we never dreamed were possible. We look at Mrs. Rollins, who has created the wonderful wizard Harry Potter, and we think of her as a woman who had problems on her life, and she loved to write, but she wrote and wrote and wrote, and then her friend said, "Well, why don't you try to publish it?" And she said, "Oh, I don't know." Finally, she did try to publish it, and her first book was an instant success, and her subsequent books were instant successes, and she went on and on, and within a period of less than 10 years, she became the 524th wealthiest person in the world today, with billions of dollars. Now, if you had said anything like that to her just a few years ago, before she struck her first book on the market, she would say, for goodness sakes, no. She'd say, I just love to write, and I just love to express the dreams and the wonderment that are in my heart, that this magic of this wizard boy and this wizard life. And I think, how would I as a human respond to the wizardry? How deeply would I be able to utilize it? How deeply would I be able to portray it and express it and bring forth the wonderment of this in my life? And she had no limitation, because her imagination was just really outrageous, really wild. And she had a wonderful time dreaming her dream about what wizards do and what Harry Potter would do and how he is growing up and keeping consistency in the program of his total life. Now, she'll probably continue to write books about Harry Potter until Harry Potter is 120, you know. Well, that'll make her quite old, too. How about that? And you see, what she will do is she will keep having Harry Potter be a real person in an imaginary setting. And the imaginary setting is just as real for her as a real person. And she made a great deal of money from living in this imaginary world. Now, she made many friends. School children all over the world are taught the Harry Potter books in the classes. And she is in the market. She is everywhere. She's invited to speak. She's a beautiful person who is invited everywhere. But you see, this is part of her illumination. Her illumination is just being the grandest, most wonderful, most outrageously outstanding person that she can possibly be. And taking an idea and spinning a tale with that idea and making that idea into an instant success. Oh, yes, for years she did not even try. She did not even realize what she had in her hand. But she had a dream. And she wrote that dream. She lived that dream. And that dream now is in the hands of men, women, and children across the world, around the world, in written form, as books, in movies, and as taped talks of her entire book. The first five sets of her books are all on cassette tapes, and you can listen to them and hear them beautifully. Now, she was certainly illumined to carry out this sort of thing, wasn't she? But her illumination was something beyond her imagination. It became a bliss. It became a fulfillment that she could not have imagined, except then, with all the success and all the notoriety, they made great demands on her time. And that was not really what she wanted to do, although she made many of them. She wanted to write. Sure, she had lots of money. Sure, she had money to do anything she wanted to, but she liked to write, and she liked to live in this dream world of Harry Potter. And she is still living in this dream world of Harry Potter, creating new editions of Harry Potter. And each book, each edition is thicker than the one before, because all of the creative ideas that were so outrageous in the first books that had to be left out, because they would just be beyond the ken of the reader. They would just stretch the mind of the reader beyond their ability. Now they can be put into her books because she has no limitation. People already are introduced to Harry Potter. People are already introduced to this. And so they don't find that outrageous anymore. And you see, as people do not find these things outrageous anymore, they will start living them, believing them, enjoying them, and finding magic in them for them. The great poets write poetry, and they are illumined and inspired to write this poetry. And they write this poetry, and it speaks to their heart, and then poof, they throw it aside and go on to the next one. They have expressed themselves. They have let the creative genius within them, the illumination from their divine self, come forth, and they put it on paper. But they don't hold on to it. They don't memorize it as their only gift to the universe. They go on. If you ever ask a poet, what has he written? He may remember the titles and he may not, because that's not important to him. The only thing that's important to a poet is to write poetry. Only thing important to a painter is to paint. He may not have any money. Perhaps if he would paint certain things, he'd make more money. But he's painting what he loves, what turns him on, what is exciting to him. And this is his illumination. What is your illumination? What is my illumination? Is our illumination just living from day to day, from hand to mouth, as the saying is? Is our illumination just existing or surviving? Or is our illumination reaching to a greater height and depth than we ever imagined? Is our illumination finding within ourselves some imaginary character, some outrageous experience like a Harry Potter or a Buck Rogers or 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea or many, many, many others? People write and write and write. We take some of our current authors. The volumes that they write are utterly amazing. And they write these volumes one after another, and each of quality and each of sincerity and each of depth of field. They hire many helpers, of course, to do research for them. And the research is not on the information. The research is on the correctness of the information that they already have. They want to make sure that they are doing like Rollins did with Harry Potter, having it be a consistently outrageous story that everyone can listen to and read and get excited about. Today, turn to the bliss center within you, as I do each morning as I walk my meditation path, and every other time I can too. And listen to that divine in you as I listen to the divine in me, and let it inspire you to speak out and tell the world the magic in your heart. But don't be possessed by it. If someone ever copies what you say, say go for it. Make it yours. If someone ever tries to say that they wrote what you wrote, say go ahead. I've had that happen many times, and I always said go ahead. I'll just write more. I am not limited by what I've done. And if anyone finds what I have done so beautiful and so wonderful they want to copy it, I say, what a compliment. Go for it. You see, when we are possessed by what we have, we stop the wonderful flow. If Miss Rollins were possessed by her characters and her beings, as her publishers are, she would be bottled up. She would be afraid that some of the ideas that she was taking were from some other author, some other reading that she had done. And she'd be afraid that anything else that she was done. But she's not afraid, because she flows with the divine in her and comes up with her own brand of magic, of wizardry. You can too, and I can too, and we can do it today and have the most wonderful time of our life. I love you so. It's a joy to share with you each day. I love you. I love you. I love you.